I have the privilege of reading God's scripture to us this morning. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 through 14.
I have a new mic on. It's picking up well from my shoes. I don't know why. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ben. Thanks to the All-Star Band. How'd you like my guys up there today? We don't get too many chances here at Central, so we're enjoying it. And Hannah, it's good to have you as an unofficial member of the All-Star Band today. Well, good morning. This is Mission Sunday. Maybe you know that. If you've read my Facebook every day for the last 2 weeks, you know for sure. But I often say every Sunday should be Mission Sunday. Amen? People have asked me, what's the mission budget at Central Church? I said $4.1 million, because that's the budget of Central. Everything we do, everything we are is missional. It's reaching out to the community. I do want to extend my condolences to the Schaefer family. God bless you guys as we celebrate Tim's life on Tuesday. And Sally Toole, I don't know if she's here, but thank you for the beautiful flowers in memory of Bill, who passed 23 years ago yesterday. He was a great, great friend of mine and of this church. Well, what's different about this Mission Sunday is we're still kind of under the guidelines of pandemic. And while that's frustrating, we are thankful that there's no distance in prayer. There's no distance in worship. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God is there and he's blessing. And so the worldly restrictions cannot restrict us from worshiping our Lord and Savior. That being said, I want to welcome again those who are watching us on live stream, those who are downstairs. You were this close. You almost got in, but thanks for coming. We're glad you're with us today. We want to celebrate today what God is doing here at Central Church and in St. Louis and around the world. We're celebrating the fact that we're all moving forward. Yes, Sharon and I'll talk a little bit about that. We are moving forward as well. But we all are moving forward in our faith and in our walk with the Lord right where we are and right where God has called us to be. And like I said, another thing that's different, this is my last Mission Sunday at Central. Wow. Some of you are saying it's about time, 41 years, my goodness. But you know, at the same time, we have mixed emotions. We know God's called us to something new, and we know God will move you on, move you forward, and bless this church as he has for 175 years. And it's been amazing that Sharon and I have been here all 175. It's been awesome for us. So the theme today is moving forward right where you are. Sounds kind of funny. How do you move forward right where you are? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And our scripture talked about it that Ben read earlier. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? That treasure, that prize, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking for your prize and your treasure somewhere else, you're going to be unhappy, because the true treasure, the true prize, lies in Jesus. For Sharon and I, we're moving forward to where God calls us to a new future. I led worship just 2 weeks ago in the parking lot of Bodega Bay Church, and it was a beautiful time. That's a church where we share with others when we're there, and I preach, and so we'll continue to do ministry. And I hope that and pray that, you know, we've inspired you in some ways, but you have certainly inspired us over 41 years. We thought we'd be here 3 or 4 years. We really did when we first came. But God has been so good and blessed us that we are moving forward now to that prize, to that call. And we'll sing, I mean, my testimony, we're going to sing it at the end of the service. The words are phenomenal. They're in your bulletin. Don't read them now. They're there, but don't sing it. You know, sometimes, as the song says, I believe God closes a door so that we can move forward. It's easy sometimes to stay where you are, and it's comfortable. For me, it's not so comfortable to stay where I'm used to traveling all over the world, and this year, 0 for 7 on mission trips. And by the way, All-Star Band, God willing, we're going to get that final tour into Albania. But now it's time for us to take a step forward toward the prize, for Sharon and I, but for you as a church, because he's wanting us to seek that treasure, that goal of the prize. If you're running a race, as our scripture says, then you don't look behind you. I don't know. You know, I've seen people glance, but don't look behind you. You certainly can't run backwards and win the prize. So we need to keep looking forward as a church, as individuals. Look forward to that call God has given to us. I don't know. Many of you probably know the Willendas, the great flying Willendas. They've been good friends of our family for 35 years because our daughters were born very close together. They're actually staying in our home when their oldest daughter, or no, is it the oldest daughter? Middle one. They have a lot of kids. I mean, when you're a circus family, you got to breed your own circus people, so it's great. But so we've known that family forever. But if you've seen Tino, he walks the high wire. He's one of the flying Willendas. And I always said, Tino, I've actually tried, when we were in Florida at their house, they have a low one. It's crazy. And I say, Tino, how do you stay on the wire? How do you? He says, I focus on the end. I focus on the end of the wire, and I keep my eyes on the goal. And that's exactly what our scripture says. It says that we have to stay balanced and focused on that prize, on the goal that Jesus Christ has for us. Our scripture says, straining forward to what lies ahead, I run straight toward the goal. And I've seen him run the wire, not just walk it. He runs the wire. Scares me to death. He's almost 70. I watch him. I've seen him drop his bike and catch it with his feet. And I said, Tino, why did you catch it? It was $1,500. I said, bro, there's no net. You're on a wire. But he keeps his focus. It's not likely that many of you here are high wire walkers. Anybody? I don't want to let anybody down. But, you know, most of you aren't pastors either. And sometimes there's a misconception that exists in the church that pastors and missionaries have the highest calling. They do have a high calling, there's no doubt about it. But you don't have to be a pastor or a missionary or a high wire walker to have a high calling. We can contribute to God's kingdom without being a, what I call, professional Christian. See, I'm paid to be good. You guys are good for nothing. And so, I mean that in the best way, of course. We all need to be willing to be used by God for his call. And the thought goes even further. It's not just people that honor a pastor or a missionary, but if you're a missionary that serves in Africa, oh, that's got to be the highest. As a matter of fact, we're going to hear from our missionaries in Kenya in just a minute in the service, sharing their testimony about moving forward. But friends, let me tell you, the highest calling that you can ever have is to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to serve Jesus right where you are. That is the highest calling. And, you know, your work and your life is your ministry. I don't know if you know the word ministry comes from the word ministerium. It means service, occupation, and work. Yes, a ministry is what a pastor does and a missionary does, but ministry is what you do every day from your work. Those who minister to customers, clients. When we go to Iraq, we meet with the minister of culture, the minister of religion, the minister for refugees. They're ministers because they're serving and working, and we are ministers who serve and work in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter explained it this way in 1 Peter 4. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides them, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's why we minister. That's why we work. God has called us to different things. Peter says, every job is ministry, and everything we do it as unto the Lord. There's a scripture, serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever we do it unto the Lord. How do you know if you're just doing a job or if you're doing ministry? I saw this online the other day. I like it. If you're going to work because no one else will do it, it's a job. But if you do it to serve the Lord, it's a ministry. If you quit because someone criticized you, it's just a job. But if you keep on serving in spite of challenges, it's a ministry. If you do it only as long as it doesn't interfere with other things in your life, it's just a job. But if you're committed to staying with it, even when it means letting other things go, it's a ministry. If you quit because no one thanked you and no one praised you, it's a job. But if you stay, even though no one else notices your work, God notices it, it's a ministry. It's hard to get excited about a job, but it's almost impossible not to get excited about a ministry. That's one of the things people ask me, how have you stayed at Central 41 years? We have been through some stuff, haven't we? But you know what? I have never seen this as a job. I told people, I don't work for Central Church. I praise God they give me a check every once in a while. But you know, I work for Jesus. I'm passionate about what I do. I know it's not that easy in some jobs that are day-to-day difficult jobs to be passionate. But when you're serving God and not just Ford Motor Company or whoever, you can be passionate. And the problem is the average church is filled with people doing jobs. That's the average church. But a growing church, and a church like I believe we are, is filled with people involved in ministry. And that's what I pray we'll continue to do here at Central as we grow together and as we move forward. I pray that Central Church will be transformed by the gospel, who are engaged and excited about the ministry right where we are, and then take that gospel into St. Louis and into all the world. I read recently that the top mission fields in America, you might try to guess, what are the top mission fields? It's not homeless shelters or prisons. It's not even abortion clinics. The top mission field is the home, the school, and business. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because that's where people interact. That's where people have great needs. So what is your mission? Where is your mission field? What do you do? You know, I love to tell the story of my friend Daniel. You guys remember it probably. I think I tell the story every time I get up because I love it. Daniel is a member here at Central. And he came up to me one day and he said, Randy, I'd love to hear your stories of missions, what God is doing around the world. I'd love to go with you, but I don't sing. I don't preach. I don't want to go to Africa. You know, all the things. I said, well, what do you do, Daniel? He said, I'm a plumber. I said, are you kidding me? We need a plumber so badly in Honduras with our ministry. The boys live in a home that just needs a lot of plumbing. This is before they got the new Micah house. I said, if we could have you come with us on a mission to Honduras to work on the plumbing, and then you could work with us with the street kids and the other things, that would be a godsend. He said, are you kidding me? I said, absolutely not. God wants to use your gifts, and he's gifted you as a plumber. Well, Daniel went with us to Honduras, and he fixed the toilets and the sinks and the washing machine, which was a blessing to them. And then he went out on the streets with us, with the street kids, and ministered, and his heart was touched. So when he came back, he said, what can I do next? I said, well, we got a ministry going to Appalachia to help build, and your gifts of plumbing. He went to Appalachia, and he started building and working on a house. And he started working with the guy who lived in the house, side by side. And he led that man to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do. Wherever you are, he wants you to move forward in your faith and to use your gifts to bless others and to bless him. It changed Daniel's life. He talks to me about it all the time. We're still Facebook friends. By the way, when Sharon and I leave, you know, there's always Facebook. Facebook is always there for us. So anyway, I love to use the verse. You've heard me quote it many times. And I told this to Daniel, your gift will make a way for you. And it'll bring you into the presence of great men. Yes, I have been, as I said, in the presence of kings and presidents, but I've been in the presence of refugees and homeless, and every one of them are great men and women that God has called. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to serve where God has called us. So I pray that you would see that you would use your gift, that it would make a way for you to take your gifts, but also to take the gift of the gospel to so many. I've heard people say, well, I need to change my career to have meaning and impact. I need to go to seminary. That may be the call God puts in your life. And if it is, obey it. But if it's not, move forward right where you are in your own ministry, in your own work. God will use your gifts right where you are. Again, remember the top mission fields, home, school, business. I would say hospitals too, but that's part of business maybe. Many of you are strategically positioned in these kind of places to make a difference in this city and in this world for Jesus Christ. As a church, we need to stand together. We need to support each other. We need to uphold each other in authentic Christ-centered community. From this place, we become the body of Christ. We're unified and we're strengthened to serve people in our homes, in our schools, in our businesses. And your kids need to know Jesus and be prepared to face a lost and searching world. We need to train up our children. And that's why the homes are so important. My daughter is homeschooling right now because, well, it's weird in Alaska. They go to school every 2 days, get off, it's just crazy. So she's homeschooling, but what an opportunity she has to not only teach math and diving. Her dad's a diver, so she goes out for PE and dives in the ocean. It's awesome. She's pretty good, 6 years old. But she hears the gospel of Jesus Christ in her home every single day. And that's a responsibility that we have. Mandy is a great mom, and she's going to be a great mom next month again because our baby boy is coming. We're excited. We pray and hope that we'll get to be there, but Alaska's been kind of funny about letting people in. When you're safe and clean, you don't want any nastiness coming in like us, you know, so I guess that's the... So, serve each other by being the best mothers and fathers you can be. Serve each other by being a teacher, an administrator. Serve each other by working at Schnucks or Deerbergs. People need to eat. Serve one another by working at Schnucks. Cook for them delicious meals like at the Crossing Restaurant. Jim Fiala, you owe me dinner. But I'm just saying, that's a calling. Whatever we do, we use that right where we are as a calling that God has given to us. Just remember, your work, your ministry is important. Do you know the New Testament records Jesus appearing 122 out of 132 times in the marketplace where people were? When you read what he's doing and where he is, he's in the marketplace. He's with people. I've always said at missions, everything we do is about relationship. We have great programs, we have great ministries, but it's about meeting the people right where they are. And we can do that at Central. And we are doing that. There are a lot of ministries. Jesus told 52 parables and 45 of them had a workplace context. Your work matters to God. It really does. Isn't there a book, Your Work Matters to God? I don't know who wrote it. I don't even know if it's good, but I just remember the title. So, know that that we're successful in our mission when any person we interact with hears the gospel and is changed, not just by the programs, like I said, of the church, but by coming to know a living Savior, Jesus Christ, because of your life. Your number one job in the world, your number one calling as believers, is to make God look good by using your gifts, drawing people to him, and let them see Jesus. That's our ministry. Let them see Jesus. I know a lot of preachers have up in the pulpit the note, let them see Jesus, because it's so easy for our personalities and the things that we have to take over. Not for me, but some people really have personalities. But you know, we need to say, let them see Jesus. And I hope in the last several months, some of you even said to me, I've noticed you've really been gospel focused. Well, you know what? In these times, in every time, but especially now, the gospel is what is going to save us and save the world. It's not whoever becomes president a week from now. It really isn't. And I know some of you are fearful either way. Doesn't matter. God is in control. Let them see Jesus in everything that you do. Well, I know that you can do it. I know. By the way, thank you, Clay. On loan, the goblet. I think yours is bigger, though, right? But I like this one. It's just the mini goblet, but I like it. You know, God believes in you. We believe in you. The staff has done everything we can to help equip you to be who God wants you to be right where you are and to move forward in your faith. And I pray you'll take advantage of those things. Colossians 3:23 reminds us again, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And that's what really, again, that's what's kept us here 41 years, to know that we are serving the Lord. We love you guys, and we will continue to love you. Like, again, on Thursday night, we'll have the session to talk about what's going on, just so you know, we're keeping our home here. I have to. I have weddings to do. I have funerals. I have a lot of things I still am going to do. And by the way, I'll come back and preach again if you ask me. I mean, for a nominal fee, but I will come back. I know. Don't push it, Randy. Let me just bombard you with a couple of scriptures in closing today, if I could. In Job 17, the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Keep moving forward. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord. How do you do it? You trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight so you can move forward without fear. Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. Psalm 32, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. So you're saying, I don't know how to move forward. I don't know what to do. These scriptures tell us God will be there for you. The Holy Spirit will fill you with his power and empower you to go forth. And then again, our key scripture, Philippians 3, forget what lies behind. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Jesus Christ. Now, my friend Clavery is here today. Clavery, good to have you. He's attending Covenant Seminary. A couple of months ago, you might have remembered, he was here to share his testimony. And the very thing he said, his key line was, God has a way forward. And it fits so well with what I want to say today. So I'm gonna steal some of your ideas, Clavery, but not. I'll put them in my own thing. I'll give you credit. I might even help buy a few books for seminary, whatever you need. But I just want you to know, I'm stealing your idea. When you're weak and you feel inadequate, anybody? God has a way forward. When the finances just aren't there, when you're fearful, when you're anxious, when people tell you that it can't be done, God has a way forward. And for me personally, at an early age, I was the son of a pastor. I chose to follow Jesus. I was baptized when I was 9 years old, and I was singing in my church. I knew God wanted to use me, but as a young man, I didn't know where to begin. But guess what? God had a way forward. I didn't have money to attend college. God had a way forward. When I was seeking a godly, loving, and beautiful wife, oh my, did God have a way forward. Yes, baby, that's right. When I was looking for a call to serve him, Central called me right out of college, and we knew that God had a way forward. Friends, I want to tell you, wherever you are today, whatever you're doing, whatever you're fearful of, whatever things are happening in this strange times, I want to assure you that you can have the greatest confidence of knowing God has a way forward. He really does. These aren't pipe dreams or little wishes we throw out there. His word is filled with promises that he will be there for you in the most difficult times. He has a way forward. Sharon and I love you. It's been a joy serving you. And we know for you and for us, God has a way forward. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you this morning that you've made a way forward for us. And that way, the only way, is through your son, Jesus Christ. I pray if there's anyone listening this morning who hasn't put their trust in Christ, that they will trust in him this morning, that they will find the way forward for them. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for making the path straight and for running alongside us as we move toward the prize, the treasure we have in Jesus Christ. And it's his name we ask all of these things. Amen.